Let me invite your attention to the Old Testament, where we would like to read one verse from 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, and we will share the 32nd verse. Amen. Verse 32 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12 reads on this wise. I'll read it aloud if you would just read along with me silently. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had an understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. The grass withers, the flower thereof fades away, but the word of God will stand forever. I want to speak to you this morning simply about understanding the times.
All right.
This is what was presented to us. Children of Issachar, they had an understanding of the times. We don't know a whole lot about Issachar. We do know that he was the son of Jacob by his wife Leah. There's not much mention of him after the recording of his birth, except we find where Jacob blesses him in Genesis 49 and calls him a strong ass and gives him a central portion of land among the tribes of Israel.
Right.
Some of the richest land that was in Palestine fell to Issachar's lot. And our text points us not to Issachar, but to the children of Issachar.
All right.
And even though nothing is said much or seen of him, we can see the ass-like strength which was ascribed to him in the life of his children. 1 Chronicles 7 and 5 says they were valiant men of might. Judges 5 talks about the princes of Issachar who fought valiantly, jeopardizing their lives even unto death. They were strong men. But in this text, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, the children of Issachar were at a crossroad in history. Division had come to Israel. God had turned his back on Saul. God had demoted Saul. And there were those in Israel who continued to follow after Saul.
All right.
But they had already whispered in Samuel's ear to go to Jesse's house and to anoint one of the sons of Jesse to be the next king of Israel. And we know him as David. We know that Israel was God's chosen people. Everybody in the world was to know that Israel had favor with God. God was their protector. God was their guide. God was their refuge. And this reminds me of the relationship that we have with God as the Church of Christ. We are God's people. We have favor with God. Christ loves the church so much that he gave himself for it, that he might one day present the church to himself without spot or wrinkle. And if you look and consider our times, that could be why the church is so often attacked by satanic forces. The church has been bitterly criticized, sadly neglected, rejected even by many. Forces from everywhere has come to destroy the church. But I don't know of anything, Brother Shine, I don't know of anything anywhere that could have gone through as much as the church has gone through and yet still stands. The church has been persecuted, but we're still standing. The church has been even humiliated, but we're still standing. We have felt tribulations, storms coming from every direction, but the church of Christ is still standing. We may not be the biggest, but we are the best. We may not be dressed in fancy clothes, but we have been robed in righteousness. We have been robed in God's righteousness. We may not have overflowing bank accounts, but we have unsearchable riches. So yes, as it was with Israel, as Israel had favor with God, so it is with us. We've been bought with a price. We belong to the Lord. Isn't that good news? To know that we belong to the Lord. This morning, our passage, other passages rather, have showed us that the children of Issachar were men of might. But our text let us know that they were not only men of might, but they were men of wisdom.
All right.
The children of Issachar, which were men that had an understanding of their times, to know what Israel should do. And this is an appropriate place, I believe, for this passage. As you scholars come to study more and more about God and about His Word, it reminds me of what Dr. Zan Holm of Dallas shared with us some years ago, that as ministers of God, we must not only be able to exegete the Word of God, but we also must be able to exegete the world. We must be able to understand what's going on around us if we are going to make an impact in our day and in our era.
All right.
So what is it and how is it that we can make a difference in our day and time? What is it that even the sons and children of Issachar, what did they do that empowered them to be valiant and great men of God? The first thing we can do, I feel, that will help us is assess our situations. That's what they done. As the children of God, if we're going to serve this present age, we need to know what's going on around us.
Right.
Issachar's children understood their times.
Yeah.
And they were able to know what actions needed to be taken.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand our time.
Right.
We need to know that times have changed.
Right.
We're not facing the dilemmas that the 20th century church faced. We're living in a different era. If you notice, in our time, many of our youth have lost their appetite for church. Virtually, seemingly all over the world, men and women are obsessed with giving God the benediction. We have lost our appetite for that which is holy, that which is right. In our time, we have legalized same-sex marriage. In our time, men, boys, women, and girls would rather walk with pit bulldogs than walk with God. In our time, everybody is fighting for rights, but nobody wants to be righteous. In our time, our youth would rather be associated and a part of gangs rather than families. In our time, I've discovered that everything that's opposite and contrary to the will and to the word of God, that's what's accepted. Therefore, we have got to have an understanding, not just of the word. We need to assess our situations. See what's going on around us. But times have changed. No longer do we value and teach that marriage is honorable. Now, living together as business partners is acceptable. Families is composed basically of a father, a mother, and then the children. Now it's the mother, the children, and maybe a father. Times have changed. And it is a challenge to us to understand where we are.
All right.
But we must understand that it will never take place until we understand our time. Not only do we need to understand our time, assess our situation, but it's imperative that we assemble our strengths.
All right.
We can't do it by ourselves.
Yeah.
We have to assemble our strengths. 1 Chronicles 75 tells us that there were 87,000 among the brethren of Issachar. In the text, it tells us that there were 200 heads over all the brethren ready to move at their command. For years now, we have been counting numbers. But now the time has come for us to make the numbers count. God has given us everything we need to do what needs to be done.
All right.
Therefore, we are challenged to pool our resources, pool our strengths, and make the changes necessary to address the things that our time demands.
Right.
The children of Israel took a stand. They took a stand with David. They took a stand because they knew God had demoted Saul. They took a stand with the one that God had anointed. And we are challenged, as the children of Issachar took their stand with David, we are challenged to take our stand with Jesus.
All right.
He is the one that can make a difference.
Yeah.
We're challenged to make ourselves available to Christ.
All right.
For his cause in the upbuilding of his kingdom.
All right.
Someone said that a man won't stand for something, he'll fall for anything.
Yeah.
Now, the king said that a man that doesn't have anything worth dying for, doesn't have anything worth living for.
Yeah.
Scholars, you have been called to a life of service, not of comfort.
Yeah.
I want to park there for a minute, because there are so many televangelists who have painted a raw picture of what being a servant of God is all about. We are not celebrities.
Right.
We are servants of the Most High God. Not celebrities. We're not celebrities. We are here to serve this present age. Jesus said, he that will be great among you, let him become your servant. Therefore, we must make ourselves available. We must know that this business is about God.
All right.
And not about us.
Yeah.
They assembled their strength. Not only that, but they assess their situations. Finally, this morning, if we're going to make a difference, we must arm ourselves with spiritual weaponry. We've got to have the right weaponry.
All right.
And we're going to make a difference in this day and in this era. The men, the sons of Issachar, when they stood with shields. They stood with swords. They stood with sticks. They stood with stones. But none of those things can propel us in our fight. For Paul said that our fight is not against flesh and blood. We're in a spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. Therefore, we must have the right weaponry. We must have, and you do know what that is, don't you? He says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Put it on you. Put that helmet of salvation on. Gird yourself with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Make sure you have your shield of faith. And then you need a sword, which is the word of God. That's the war and the weaponry that we need.
You're right.
If we will come out victorious. So our challenge is, are we willing?
Yeah.
Are we ready to really take on the challenges of this day and this era?
Yeah.
Are we willing and are we ready
to
take on the war that we are confronted with?
All right.
That demands that time will come when we must leave the sacred place of God and stand out in a world that's cruel, that's dark, and tell them the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. All right. Oh, scholars, I made up my mind that I'm going to stand for Jesus. I made up my mind that I'm going to fight for the cause of Christ. I made up my mind that I'm going to fight on until he says, well done. God bless you. Shall we pray? Lord, we love you and thank you for your word. Thank you for encouraging us even to be strong as the sons of Issachar, that we might make a difference in these times. I pray your blessings upon each of these students and instructors. I pray, O God, for this seminary. Bless us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen.